tree. I would yawn and I would dream the hours away if I were an animal for the day. If I were an animal for the day.
Animal for the Day is Penny Pom Pom from Believe in Your Magic. That's a little clip from it. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We're on the line with Sam Troll from the Sloth Institute located in Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica. Sam, how do you feed all the sloths in your care?
One of our team members, the large chunk of his day is collecting leaves for the sloths every single day because it takes a lot of time to collect enough food to feed these guys, and they're very picky eaters, so you can't just collect anything. And then we also try to collect a well-rounded diet so we don't collect the same leaf every day. And there's a whole science behind feeding these guys. And that's certainly, I think, one of the big pieces of why our program is so successful is what we feed them. I liken them to Goldilocks because the leaf can't be too young and it can't be too old. It has to be just right. And you can't give them the same leaf too many days in a row or they stop liking it and they want something different. And sloths would rather starve themselves than eat something they don't want to eat. Like, they don't just eat because they're starving and hungry. Like, it has to be the right thing. Like, some of the leaf species that they like, for example, are some things that we know. So, like, two-fingered sloths, they like the leaves from mango trees. They like the leaves from beech almond trees. They like the leaves from water apple trees. Three-fingered sloths are really well known for eating this one type of tree. It's Cecropia, but here the local name is Guarumo. But for three-fingered sloths, you cannot feed them anything that's purchased from a grocery store. Like, everything has to be collected from the wild. With two-fingered sloths, they will eat some vegetables if needed, but that's not really the best thing for their diet. So we only supplement their diet with veggies a little bit just to make sure that they have all the right calories and things. Two-fingered sloths are slightly omnivorous, so they can have some animal matter. Like, in the wild, they'll actually collect and eat bugs, like moss and things like that, and they can eat eggs. But the vast majority of their diet's leaves.
How long can a healthy sloth live?
We don't really know exactly how long they can live. In captivity, there's been some two-fingered sloths that have lived into their 50s, but three-fingered don't do well in captivity at all, so no one really knows how long they can live. And they have a 31% slower metabolism than two-fingered sloths, meaning there's a decent chance they could live even longer than two-fingered sloths. But of course, in the wild, they have to deal with predators, disease, especially in a human encroached environment. So no one really knows exactly how long sloths can live in the wild, but for sure, multiple decades at least.
Are sloths social with each other?
They are pretty much solitary, but they will interact, of course, with each other when they come across each other. They will get into arguments sometimes. The two-fingered males especially are extremely territorial and will fight each other, and their fights can look pretty scary. And pretty much the goal of a sloth fight is to get the other sloth out of the tree that you're in. So they swat and they bite each other's hands and feet, and they just want the sloth to let go, the other sloth to let go and get out of the tree. But three-fingereds are much better at living in close proximity to one another. They don't necessarily hang out or touch or anything like that, but it's not uncommon to see a group of three-fingereds in the same tree. So, like, multiple females are usually good in the same tree together. But males, again, are very territorial, so multiple males you wouldn't normally see, but we've definitely seen, like, a group of females and one male hanging out in a tree together. And hanging out just means resting within a few meters of each other, but that's about as social as they get. But when you think about sloths and their strategy for survival in the forest, they can't really risk being too social because social animals are usually louder animals. Being gregarious comes with making noise. And sloths survive in the forest by being invisible and being quiet.
More with Sam Troll from the Sloth Institute, based in Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica, in just a moment. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
I'm a super slow sloth, hanging upside down, living in the trees. I like to party.
We are super slow sloths, hanging upside down, living in the trees. We like to party.
We are super slow sloths, hanging upside down,
living in the trees. We like to party. We are super slow sloths, hanging upside down, living in the trees. We like to party. We are super slow sloths, hanging upside down, living in the trees. We like to party. We are super slow sloths, hanging upside down, living in the trees. We like to party.
That's Super Slow Sloth by Hugo FM right here on the Children's Hour. Sam Troll is with us from the Sloth Institute in Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica. They are a sloth rescue organization that does so much more. And Amadeus has a question for you.
What inspired you to become a sloth expert?
My background is all in primatology. My graduate work is in primatology. And I first came to Costa Rica with the intention to work with spider monkeys because I love spider monkeys. They're really great. And I was volunteering at a rescue center and they handed me a baby sloth. And they literally said, don't get attached, but do whatever you need to do to keep the sloth alive because they always die. And I was like, okay. And I'd raised baby primates before, lemurs and various monkey species. So I just treated the sloth like a baby primate, not with the type of milk. Luckily, I knew that, for example, they drink goat milk. But everything else I pretty much had to figure out. And so that baby sloth survived. And then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And I knew that I was not going to leave them in captivity for forever. That's not why I woke up every 2 hours for 2 years raising them. And so the Sloth Institute was really born out of the need to figure out how to release hand-raised orphan sloths. But of course, we've grown from there. And there's still so much more to learn and so many different ways that sloths need to be saved. And different ways that sloths really need a champion because their conservation is definitely not assured yet.
We're just about to end our time together with you, Sam Troll. Thanks so much for being on the Children's Hour. But before we go, for all of us listening across the world, what can we do to support sloths in our own communities?
I think one of the biggest things that anybody can do from anywhere that they live is focus on being a responsible sloth tourist, because one of the big problems that sloths face all over the world, and that includes in the U.S. at a lot of different captive facilities, is sloths are extremely popular and people want to be close to them. They want to touch them. They want to take pictures with them. They think that because they love sloths, they need to have these close encounters with them. But in actuality, that is a huge, huge problem for wild sloths. Sloths are literally being taken from the wild, purchased from the wild, and brought to the U.S. to be sold to lots of little tiny private facilities where they'll offer, like, hold and feed this baby sloth or take a picture with this baby sloth. So it's really, really important that tourists, even in the U.S., do their research about where they're seeing sloths in captivity. So, like, big zoos like San Diego Zoo, for example, is a great place to go and see all kinds of animals because you know they're going to be well cared for and you know that they're accredited. Basically, any place that lets you get too close to the sloth probably does not have the sloth's best interest in mind and has probably purchased that sloth from the wild. And then when you go to visit sloths in places like Costa Rica, you also have to be careful with rescue centers, places that pretend to be rescue centers, but really they're just trying to collect animals to have people come and see so they can make money. So it's just sloths are really being exploited for their cuteness and their popularity. And so it's just really important to be really careful and cognizant as someone who loves sloths that you're not paying for participating in activities that actually hurt them.
That was Sam Troll from the Sloth Institute. She spoke with us from Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica. We've got a link to their website and pictures of these adorable sloths that they take care of at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Sloths. There you'll also find a learn-along guide that meets and cites national education standards. It's digital now, so you don't need to print anything unless you want to. Check it out at childrenshour.org/sloths.
Friendly smiling face. If I am bad, you make my day. If I pull up the mic and catch. catch a lyric while it is climbing. We get up, I said to the animal, try to rhyme it. You be my master of yin and yang. You teach me chill, you teach me slang. You be like ragamuffin yoga. I'll be hanging out in the trees or on your sofa.
As long as an animal knows how to chill, moving slowly, very slowly. As long as an animal hanging out in a tree, moving slowly, killing softly. As long as an animal knows how to chill, moving slowly, very slowly. A sloth is an animal hanging out in a tree, moving slowly, killing softly.
In the background, Hang Out in Trees is the name of the band, and that's their sloth song. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. You can learn more about sloths and see cute pictures and so much more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Sloths. But giant Paleolithic mega sloths came up in our conversation recently for our fossils episode. We were talking with La Brea Tar Pits, and there they have found the Paleolithic sloths preserved. There have also been sloth footprints found at White Sands National Monument. We talk a little bit about that in our brief history of the American Southwest series. You can find all of this at childrenshour.org or reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Many thanks to Georgianne Irvine from the San Diego Zoo and Sam Trull from the Sloth Institute. Our learn-along guide was written by Lorraine Archibald, and our senior producer is Christina Stella. We had production help on today's show from Daniel Lentz.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.